Well, who was this St. Patrick? I mean, growing up, I only knew about St. Patrick's Day because McDonald's had, the green kind of milkshake that came out. I don't know if they still sell that. And then a little later, it was the green beer that would flow and so forth like that. But Patrick was a real human being, a real Christian. He was the son and grandson of a preacher man. His father was a deacon and his grandfather was a presbyter. He was baptized as an infant into the Holy Christian Church. And his baptism was truly efficacious. He says so. God's word tells us also that baptism, even for infants, is powerful. Because even infants may have faith, and we have a whole section in our catechisms about that very question, which is probably good for all of us to remember and keep in our minds, because so many doubt that sacred truth. When an infant is baptized, it's not based on the faith of their parents or anything else. Faith is created in their own hearts. And so Patrick, as an infant, certainly had faith. And he acknowledges that. But we see what happens when that faith, even if it is nurtured, can come under the assault of the devil, the world, and our flesh. And that is what happened with Patrick. The temptations of the world are strong, and despite the best efforts of family and Christians in prayer all around, despite all these things, the individual soul may still fall away if there's not that will, because God does not force anyone to love Him. He gives us the strength and the power, but if we decide that we want to rebel against that, then we do and we can. But despite the fact that he did fall away as a young person, we shall see that in the case of Patrick, and maybe in the case of those around us, maybe we all have relatives, some very close to our hearts, who have fallen away. They may come back to the faith, as in the case of Patrick. Now, how did this come about? The chastisement of God through circumstance may bring us yet around. Sometimes circumstances can do such a thing. And in the time of chastisement, we return to our baptism to find strength through the cross of Jesus, that we might bear his cross unto glory. Patrick wrote his confessions, and I found it a very interesting read. It's shorter than St. Augustine's Confessions. But he wrote them when he was an old man. He describes his younger self saying this: "I was then 15 years old, and I did not believe in the living God, nor had I since my infancy. But I remained in death and in unbelief until I had been chastened exceedingly and humbled in truth by hunger and nakedness, and that daily." You see, Patrick lived in the northeast part of Britain at a time when the Roman Empire had succumbed to the barbarian invasions, which included raids from Ireland. Of course, for the Roman Empire and that part of Britain, it was the Vikings too were terrible foes, and they were like the heathen hordes that would come down on the Holy Roman Empire. But for him, it was raids from Ireland. Irish pagan raiders, they were frightful. They were fighting. When they fought nearly naked, and they painted their bodies, and they were carting off hostages as slaves whenever and wherever they could. So Patrick was dragged off one dark night, along with his two sisters, and he was carried across the sea to the remote mountains of Ireland. He was sold to be a shepherding slave, and forced to live in the most horrific conditions, often hungry, cold, threatened by the elements, abused by his captors. But Patrick, he was young, he was strong, and he survived. And over the years, he learned the language of the Irish and of their ways, and he was there for about 6 years. Though his body was taking a brutal beating, Patrick, in some spiritual sense, had thrived since he returned to God in prayer. His baptism and the godly power within it was latent in his time of rebellion, but it was not diminished. And that's the way it is with baptism. You know, it's a gift that is given. A lot of people say you got to be rebaptized. A lot of people in our community say that. Well, if you fall away and then you come back to the Lord, well, then you need to be rebaptized. We don't say that. We say that the power of baptism is resting latent within you, and that's the way it was with Patrick. The power of the cross was waiting to be unleashed as soon as he would come to his senses, and the Holy Spirit was working through his circumstances, working through the word that had been inculcated into him as a young person before he fell away. And it was like the poor prodigal son of Luke 15, having lost everything material in the world, he then turns back to his father, to his heavenly father in this case. The strength of his baptism still remained in him. The power of the cross bore him up. The word he heard, whether willingly or unwillingly, is now recalled the remembrance to become active within him. It is at its center the word of the sacrificial cross of Jesus, the struggle within all of us, Christ versus Antichrist, the old man of sin versus the new man of faith, the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world is renewed. And word and the sacrament that he still possessed within him prompted him to pray, and Patrick lifted up his eyes to see. Now, these are the words of Patrick. At the end of his prayer, he thus affirmed, "He who laid down his life is he who is in you, and so I awoke rejoicing." And that's when he came to his senses. The cross, the sacrificial cross, is central here. He who laid down his life is he who is in you. And another time, there was the one that was praying within me, and I was, as it were, within my body, and I heard one praying over me, and that is over the inner man, and there he was praying mightily with groanings. And meanwhile, I was astonished and was marveling and thinking, who could it be that was praying within me? But at the end of the prayer, you know who it was, who it is, even in our lives, the Holy Spirit, just as Paul promises that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I find it amazing, you know, that Patrick says how uneducated he was at that time, and yet now he is writing his life story, and it sounds very powerful to me. Patrick returned to his faith, live a passion, and it was by faith, not by sight, that he would follow the leading of the Holy Spirit back to his home in Brittany. He made a mad escape plan. He found a ship, he found safe harbor, he found himself home. And when he got there, he engaged in some serious study. He was ordained to the holy ministry. He sensed a call there to, after his study, that he wanted to return to Ireland, the place of his captivity, to preach the gospel. And he would have been well equipped. He had learned the language. Time and time again, circumstances, though, forced him to wait. And so he wrote, "I did not proceed to Ireland of my own accord until I was nearly worn out. You know, so he went and he studied for the ministry. He was ordained. He went from place to place where he was called, and he wanted to go to Ireland, but his opportunity never came until at the age of 60, no less, when many are ready to claim their senior status on Via Rail in Rome, our Canadian country in luxury. The Holy Spirit called Patrick, ready for the defining mission of his life at the age of 60. Now, this is kind of a theme that I find in some of these commemorations. Remember Polycarp, 86 years old, the most powerful thing happens towards the end of his life. Even Justin Martyr, I believe he was 70, most powerful things happening towards the end of his life. It would seem that that soul, oftentimes, like Abraham and Sarah, we wait till our, or we're compelled to wait till our latter years, when the world has long dismissed us as amounting to nothing, and we think ourselves most worn out for God to work his purposes, that our time comes. And I think God has a method in his madness, because there's also that theme, when I am weak, then I am strong. Patrick would land on the Emerald Island with his companions, and darkness gave way to light. Everywhere his prayer and of his companions became known as St. Patrick's Breastplate. I also discovered that sometimes part of it is known as the deer cry, because they felt so defenseless when they were entering into Ireland. They were like the deer going to the slaughter, and like the deer cry. But that hymn I read, hymn 604, and it's under the section of baptismal life. Born by the cross in holy baptism, we bear our cross to lead, to find our shield, to prevail against worldly hostility, to possess the word which gives us speech, and all of these phrases beautifully found in that hymn. Because of the cross of Jesus in baptism, it enables us to bear our cross. I mean, do all of these things, to speak mightily and to withstand temptation. Knowing that his life was in Christ, Patrick was not afraid. I think it's a benefit of age, but it's also a benefit of faith. He was not afraid to give his life, to be a martyr. He didn't actually have to go through the martyrdom per se, but nevertheless, he was ready, and he wrote, "I pray him to grant to me that I may shed my blood, lift those strangers and captives for his name's sake, even though I should lack burial itself, or that in most wretched fashion my corpse be divided limb from limb, to dogs and wild beasts or the fowls of the air eat it. Most surely I deem that if this should happen to me, I have gained my soul as well as my body. Because without any doubt we shall rise on that day in the clear shining of the sun, that is in the glory of Christ Jesus our Redeemer, as sons of the living God, joint heirs of Christ, conformed to his image, that will be, since of him and through him and in him we shall reign." So he has this intense faith of Jesus rising from the dead, going from the cross to the tomb to rising from the dead, and we shall follow. So with such faith and no fear, Patrick arrived at the court of the King of Ireland, where Druid priests displayed their demonic magic. And they did have some power, we know that. Satan does have some magic power, some dark magic, if you will, as we saw in the days of Pharaoh. They plunged the hall into darkness, but instead of cowering in fright, Patrick observed aloud that these priests could create darkness, but they could not dispel it. And they couldn't. So what did he preach? He preached, "Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light that no one may overcome." And so many of the assembled nobles, they came to the Christian faith, and Patrick gained the king's respect and protection. The Druids, on the other hand, they claimed that his mere presence sucked the dark magic right out of them. And so he went, taking a crowbar in hand, and he toppled the heathen idols. And about the time it took Patrick to walk across Ireland, converted from paganism to Christianity, Ireland outlawed slavery and stopped raiding its neighbors. Never before in the history of the world has anything like this ever happened. Now, he didn't do it single-handedly, I don't think. There were others that had been led into captivity earlier, as he was, and they all weren't, you know, fallen away sons of a preacher man. They retained their faith, and when Patrick went across Ireland, they rose up. But we can't underestimate the importance of what God was able to do with this man, this Patrick, through the word of God rather than force of arms. A few years after Patrick's death, Germanic barbarians sacked the city of Rome. Maybe in school you learned about Alaric. Well, they sacked Rome, they burned books, they tore down buildings, they melted priceless artifacts, and they dragged the Western world into the Dark Ages. And Western civilization was almost lost, but for the sake of the Irish, who had become Christian. And from Ireland, they sent missionaries back to Europe that was in the Dark Ages, and amongst them, they went to the Germanic. They were able to carry a lot of other information. And to those German peoples arose, as we know, a reformer, Martin Luther, who carried with him the true gospel to bring to the world. And yes, I was happy to see that the LCMS is doing some work in Ireland, especially among Latvians who are, many of them immigrated to Ireland to work there. And so, you know, historically they were Lutheran, and so the LCMS is reaching Ireland through them. Incredible how the gospel may return to them. So we should give a bit of honor to Patrick, a Romanized Briton who began his letters, he always did it in humility, "I, Patrick, a sinner." He was a man who trusted God, who became a powerful witness for the Lord and changed the world. He was truly an instrument of God worthy of commemoration. And that's why he's in our service book. That's why there's a commemoration in March on Saturday. And worthy of commemoration, but also inspiration in what the Lord God can do through frail human flesh. And maybe as we are open to his call continually, he may work wonders through us as well. May we be inspired by this tale. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.